You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Catalina Schleibener-Munoz. We're talking about work with Ed Minoliti at Barrow in New York. Catalina, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you for having us. Well, thank you for having me. I feel that I'm representing Ad and Nico and Sid, who are the curators of the show as well.
Yes, okay, so right, this was curated by Nicholas Suelo and Sid Krokman-Manley. I probably have that name wrong, but right, by Nicholas and Sid, as you said. But you're working with Ad on this, so let's just jump right into the show here at Barrow in New York, which is, of course, running through March. You're collaborating together with Ed Minoliti. So can you tell me, before we get into like the actual work and the show, how do you work together? How does that work as a collaborative?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, we met through Nicolas Cuello, who's the curator of the show, who's a mutual friend and curator that we both work with. I met Nico, well, many, many years ago in Argentina. I'm Chilean, but I live in Argentina for 7 years before coming to the U.S. And in 2019, Nico curated a show that I did in the gallery who represent me in Argentina called H. And Nico curated a show between me and my friend Dani Umpi, and that's how we met before, but that's how we start working together. And around that time, Nico introduced me to Ad Minoliti, and I was super familiar with Ad's work because I really like it. There's a lot of like overlap, especially like the attention about childhood, and they were similar approaches to childhood. And yeah, since then we're being in touch. I was already in New York, like living in New York when we met, so we kept like contact. Like every time that I will go to Argentina, Ad came to New York a few times, and we're always being like exchanging, you know, messages and stuff, and like sharing other people's work, and like having really like meaningful conversations, I will say, about like the things in common around our practices. And yeah, we met back then, and then in 2021, in New York, I was part until last year of a run space, artist run space called Tiger Stripe Asteroid, and it's run by 10 artists, and I had the opportunity to curate a little show, and I remember I invited at Minoliti and Madeleine Jimenez-Santil and my friend Casey Maddox. So also, yeah, we're been for like a long time trying to like think how would be to work together. And that first like little show I curate, I curate Ad's work. And then I think from then it's that the idea of like making work together or like make a show together, I guess. That was always kind of in the back of our mind. And because Nico is the person who introduces, and like Nico works separate like as a curator and writer for shows that both of us were in as well. So yeah, I think he put us in touch, and that's pretty much how it happened, I guess.
And did you say at the beginning of that your approach to childhood was similar, both you and Ed? What do you mean by that, approach to childhood?
Yeah, both of our practice in many ways are really different. Of course, Ad is a painter and working like in installation as well, but it's like a really immersive, I would say that it's more like a painted base work. Most of my work is collage and installation, and most of my work is related to childhood or the construction of childhood, and I work mostly with like found materials. So I think, yeah, the connection more than formal has to do with certain things that we were interested in. So childhood, I think, is one of them. Queerness could be another, or the relationship between like queerness and childhood as well. And Minoliti's work tend to like move more as to abstraction, for example, my work tends to be more figurative, if you want. But lately, in the last, I would say maybe four years, you know, like I've been doing like murals with like images extracted from color Disney coloring books, and certain aspects of this mural tend to abstraction. So I think that's also that something that we have in common. Like we both work around, you know, themes related to childhood and queerness and abstraction, and as well, or trying to imagine kind of a different kind of abstraction that it has some element, like figurative elements that you can recognize as well. Like if I don't know, I don't.
I like that. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And you know, I mean, of course, it's abstract ideas too. So let's talk about how that manifested itself. This is, you know, kind of a wonderfully colorful and graphic show that we're talking about, and that listeners have links to, of course, so they can hear more. But we're talking about animal forms in here too, right? Is that part of the basis of what you both are wrapping imagery around in this show?
Yes, that's a great link between the two bodies of work that we're showing together right now. It has a series of paintings. They're all the same format, and they're aligned together, creating like a huge block of almost like a big paint, almost like a mural, I would say, if they allowed me. And yeah, it's all like abstract, pretty geometrical shapes in super bright, vibrant colors. And the titles also can tell you, like, there are a lot of like animal shapes, like elephants, and like sometimes they use like a really expressive eye taken from like, I don't know, like anime or something, and or cartoons. And the series that I'm showing right now, that is part of my series coloring books, and they're all based in like, again, cutouts from coloring books from Disney that I cut out as part of my collage practice, and then I scan them, and then I trace them in the computer and cut it in vinyl. So they're like mixed media pieces. It's basically like a black line, then I color with color pencils, and I embroider as well. So there are like a lot of layers of materials as well. And yeah, there's something about animal shapes and how that evoke certain human, like if it's a mix of human animals as well, at least in my practice, or like that tension at least. But I'm using cartoon images, no? Like I'm working with Disney, so it's like there is like in a lot of fragments of this like coloring books, basically. Like I like to think the fragment of the coloring books as like prosthetic of the body. So it's like I choose hands and like the tail, like tiger tail from Winnie the Pooh. Like I mix like recognizable characters, but only certain parts. And I think there's something similar in Minoliti as well. Like they're not fully abstract. You can identify certain shapes that will evoke animals or like insert like a little. It's like a warm abstraction. You know, it's not cold. It's something that is like it has some tenderness. And yeah, you can. Maybe those are the words that I'm finding. It's hard to talk about like your friend's work, no? It's like,
it is. No,
find the words
true.
To represent them. Yeah.
You know, in the kind of imagery that you're talking about, you know, part of this show is representing, is using that kind of imagery to represent a kind of language of queer abstraction, right? That's
yeah.
Also, what's happening here to articulate kind of non-binary narratives, which are, you know, which are critiques of a number of things. How does that imagery move into that realm? Because it looks like it could be read on two levels. There's a level of a critical level, a level where we're talking about queer approaches, and also a level of almost like the imagery you're pulling from. that just seems to be almost universal in its expression of joy, of so many things that don't seem specifically as though we're talking about queer approaches or gender or sexuality. There's a number of layers to this work. So, I guess I'm asking about those layers where these narratives are about something other than what we've just been talking about, the animals, but they're also about specific narratives about sexuality, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think in both practices, like all those aspects are, they're not explicit, no? Like we're talking about gender and sexuality and maybe queer in certain forms, but again, I'm working, for example, with cutouts from coloring books, like that in self are not talking, it's like found images, if you want, and they're not in self, like, charged with meaning. It's I'm putting in a way, like, queering these shapes, and I think there's something similar as well in art practice, where it's like, I think the question that arises here is like, we're queering the abstract world, like the colors are warm, there's something about like the tenderness or like something related even to craft, it's not what you will expect on a show about abstraction, I guess, there's something, I guess, that we find in that intersection, I guess.
Yeah. So tell me more about that, because that's so interesting. And it would be easy to have a very specific and kind of more literal narrative here. But it seems you've both made an effort to create a narrative that can be interpreted many other ways, right? This is, for example, a wonderful show just for children to see. It's really mm-hmm. animated, and I mean, any content can be good for children, but I just mean that this has a wonderful sense of kind of exuberance of life, and doesn't come across initially or even after close looking initially as an investigation into sexuality. But that's how it's arranged, right? You're bringing the viewer in one way and then allowing them to explore those issues upon closer looking, right? And after reading the catalog, perhaps?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's like in both bodies of work, it's like, I can speak by myself. Like, I use all this imaginary that are images that you can recognize. And the way that I approach these images is like how I make like little changes in the image or how I present it. For example, I fragment the image. So it's like you recognize that it's like Tigger tail or like Mickey Mouse hands, no? Or like different shapes that your brain will recognize because we all grow up with them, But they're in a different setting. I work a lot, for example, mirroring images and turning these images like kind of like that's my way of approaching abstraction as well, like repetition and mirroring. And so it's like there's something about like you can recognize these images, and there's a lot of insinuation of certain sexuality. And again, like I tend to fragment the bodies. So it's like different part of the bodies that in the original illustration serve as like, I don't know, the tail, the hand, like they're mixed up in this, in my murals in particular, or in the pieces that I'm showing part of this. So it's like, there's something about the function that is like that I came to, queer in a way, like I'm queering those shapes to kind of insinuate different meanings. But again, it's always in that tension. Like, it's not really explicit, I would say. Like, we're not revealing, there are like certain codes that you can access, but it's like, I guess it's like, it's playful as well. That's why it's kind of hard to talk about it, because there's a lot of like, Yeah, I think we're playing as well, you know, with the perception of the viewer in a way. Like, it's a really colorful show. Again, there are elements that you can recognize, but they're presented in a way that you wouldn't. It's not like where you usually will see it, I will say.
I like that, right? Because there's it's more subtle than that. How it's
yeah.
getting to the to the viewer. So. Yeah, it's so interesting. It's really a very beautiful show and a beautiful collaboration on so many levels. This also ties into childhood, right? We were talking about childhood at the beginning, and so are these narratives of childhood that both you and Mino Liti in some ways are conscious of experiencing and interpreting at that age when we first see these images as well? Because that's initially how I read it. How we read certain images at certain age depending on our orientation changes, right?
Of what
relationships look like, what sexuality looks like, everything, gender looks like in cartoons, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great comment. It's like, I think there's something really interesting about childhood, and like, I think both of our practice kind of erase a little bit like the limits of like what is adulthood and childhood. Like, I think to your point, what you were mentioning before, like I think in both practices, it's like we're not necessarily thinking about like what is the age of our audience. I think it can work in many levels. Like, of course, I always say that I work with childhood imaginary, but my work is not necessarily meant for kids, but kids happen to be like really great viewers of my work. Like, and I think for art it's similar. I mean, art in other instances and in other installation include furniture, and in their installation they, you know, different people were develop workshops, like they're like they actively activate the installation through workshop and things that happen in the space, you know. So it's also like a super playful space, and I think that's something that is like another overlap in our practice. There's something about erasing that limit of like many things, certain binaries, and also like a comment on adultism, you know, what it means to be a grown up, basically, like, because we all consume these images, and like for me, in a way, coming back to these images is more than a gesture of like memory. It's more like, okay, there is something about childhood that, it, at least for me, is super related to queerness. Like, we're always had to, as a queer, trans, non-binary person, I always had to, I'm always like seeking to find who I was as a kid as well. No? So I think it's a question that a lot of queer people share. It's like, when this started, when I started understand that the world, you know, maybe wasn't meant for me or something like that. And I, in my case, I'm a preschool teacher as well. I work with kids. So it's like, it's something that I'm pretty much in touch in a daily basis. Right now I'm taking kind of a sabbatical because I have a fellowship at the Queen's Museum. But it's like being in contact, at least for me, with kids in my own day job, you know, it's like, it's always coming back to those questions and understand that, yeah, like, I don't know, but at least in my practice play a huge role, you know, like being in actual like contact with kids and working with them.
It's fascinating. Their perspective and their role in so many ways. In the installation also, there are soft sculptures in there that are both part of the murals and on the floor. Those also feel very childlike and, of course, sensual. You know, it's the kind of work that you want to touch, right? You want to pick them up and, you know, but, you know, so yeah, I'd love to hear a little bit about those, because that really sets the whole thing off. That for me, makes it something that feels interactive, that feels also like we're not only looking at what could be animated on the wall. These are almost animation. They feel like, you know, appendages. They feel like body parts or something.
That's something that started to appear in my, like, maybe like a few years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, when I start creating this like huge vinyl murals. I started to certain things started to come out, you know, tails or jump ropes, and as a way of also to kind of interrupt the fiction of like the difference between fiction and reality. Like I really like, we're certainly seeing that these are cartoons on the wall, no? But when some elements of reality comes out, it's like you started to like erase that, or at least create like a tension of like what is reality, what is fiction, like when one thing started and when the other one ends, you know, it's like a back and forth. So I think it's been super playful for me to include those subjects. And again, kind of interrupting their use, you know, like if I put a jump rope on like stuck on the wall, it's like it doesn't serve their function. It doesn't function anymore. So there's something about that too. And it's super interesting how like this, in particular for this installation, all those body parts that you see and the pieces on the floor are parts of sock monkeys. And I really like how those parts become like abstract when you extract it out of their context, so when they're out of the body, if you want. So yeah, it was like interesting to play with that as well.
Yeah, I really love that. So I want to thank you and of course Ed Minoliti for this beautiful show, and there's links here so listeners can of course learn more about it and attend. I want to thank you so much, Catalina, for talking with me today. I really appreciate your time and effort.
Yeah, thank you for having us. And yeah, I invite everybody to go to the show in Barro.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.